So I'm going to read from chapter 3, verse 10, through to the end of Jonah. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?"
Keith, thanks so much for that reading. It's good to be here with you. We've already prayed. As we start, I want to ask us, all of us, to think about one material thing in your life, one thing that you enjoy, that if you didn't have it, you would really miss. One thing. So it might be a certain type of tea or coffee, maybe a snack, really good biscuits or a certain type of cake. It might be a toy that you use all the time, or a teddy that you'd miss, or maybe it's a gadget that makes life really fun or much easier. Maybe a hobby. Maybe it's running. Maybe it's cycling. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's none of that stuff. Maybe it's just on-demand TV. Maybe you just love Netflix. You love Amazon Prime. You wouldn't admit it to anyone, but that's what you love doing. Well, whatever it is, keep that in mind as we look at God's word later on, because we're going to come back to those sorts of things later, and it helps if you've thought of something. So think of one thing now. Now, as we've already mentioned, it's Mission Sunday, and I find it so encouraging just singing that song from all together, everyone doing the actions. It's such a great song, isn't it? But let's just remind ourselves, what is mission? Simply put, Christian mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ, both at home and abroad. So when the church makes disciples of Jesus Christ, both home and abroad. It was mission that brought the good news of Jesus Christ to England. And it's the church's mission to continue to bring the good news to England, to Berkshire, to Arborfield Green. But not just at home. The church's job is to make disciples of Jesus of the whole world, of all nations. So we're to make disciples of Jesus in the secular West, of the mostly Muslim Arab world, of the huge population of India, who are mostly Hindus, to the communist world or quasi-communist world or similar regimes. Now, what Jonah 4 is going to get us to think about this afternoon in particular, it's not so much what is mission, but what is going to get in the way of mission. And the basic answer of Jonah 4 is that our love of comfort is going to stop us from doing mission. And the message of Jonah 4 is this: choose compassion over comfort. Choose compassion over comfort. Now, it's a strange chapter to talk about mission, because in many ways, Jonah chapter 3 that we've just had, or we'd have just read, is actually the most successful mission in the whole of the Bible. But even after Jonah's success, his heart is all wrong. And God wants Jonah, and God wants us, not just to do mission, but to love mission, and to love mission because we love people. He wants us to choose compassion for people over our own comfort. And Jonah 4 does this by showing us the difference between God and Jonah, or we could say the difference between God and us. So we're going to start then with the first few verses of the reading that we've just had. And we're going to see how Jonah hates God's compassion. Now, chapter 3, verse 10, God sees the Ninevites repent, and he has mercy, and he doesn't destroy them as he threatened. So most successful mission trip ever. And we expect Jonah to be doing cartwheels after this result. But that's not what happens. Chapter 4, verse 1, to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Now, we're going to see that we're just like Jonah. But here we might say, hold on a second, I'm nothing like Jonah. If a city that I lived in or lived near all became Christians, I'd be delighted. So if Reading or London, there was huge repentance throughout, we'd be absolutely delighted as well. But we've got to have a little bit of sympathy for Jonah, because Nineveh's not any old city. As Piers mentioned at the beginning, it's the capital of Assyria, the enemies of Israel. And Nineveh's not just a city that you commute to get to work, to buy your clothes, to go out for a nice meal. No, they're the enemy of Israel, and they do absolutely horrific things. So because the children here won't go into too much detail, but they would have used tactics that's similar to, say, Islamic State might use, or the Nazis might use. They were really, really, a really horrible empire. And in some ways, Jonah rightly wants them to receive God's judgment for the horrible things that they've been doing. And so Jonah is furious. So look what he prays to God in verse 2. He says this: isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, again, we may think we're more different to Jonah than similar to him, but compassion is shown by action. So let me ask you, which persecutor of Christians are you praying for at the moment? Or when was the last time you shared the gospel with someone who has done you harm? As we think about those things, actually, maybe we're more similar to Jonah than we thought. Maybe we're not as compassionate as we might like to think. So Jonah hates God's compassion, and that's why he's angry. But moving on, verse 4, God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah thinks, well, this is a bit of an ambiguous question by God. So Jonah thinks, well, maybe I shouldn't be angry, because maybe God sooner or later will bring his judgment on Nineveh. So verse 5, he sets up a shelter and sits in the shade. And then to make it a much better shelter, God miraculously grows up a plant to make Jonah even more comfortable. And verse 6 now, we see what Jonah really loves. He's really happy. We've seen what Jonah hates. He hates God's compassion. But what does he love? He loves it when his discomfort is taken away. He loves to be comfortable. And in that sense, I guess, we're pretty like him. But sooner after his happiness, disaster strikes him again. God raises up a worm now to eat through the plant, and he's got no shade. And worse than that, a strong east wind comes. And normally when a wind comes, we think of a cool breeze. But having lived in the Gambia now, I can tell you what this would have felt like. It's like a really hot summer's day, and then standing by an oven and opening the door and feeling the hot air on your face, or on a hot summer's day, blowing a hairdryer in your face. Okay, it's a horrible wind, and he's got no shade. And he becomes furious at this discomfort again. And he says, it would be better for me to die than to live. Now, again, we might think Jonah's being a little bit melodramatic, and he probably is, but we've all had those days, haven't we, where things are going really wrong for us. We lose our car keys, we bang our head, we're out of milk, the internet won't work, the kids are always arguing. And we get hugely angry, basically, because the peaceful, comfortable life that we long for just slips through our fingers. It makes us so angry. Now, we can be just like Jonah, can't we? And I think it's amazing how we devote so much of our energies and time into making our life as comfortable as we possibly can. We care far more about this than God's compassion that we're going to see shortly. Well, we move on, and God challenges Jonah, verse 9. And he says, is it right for you to be angry about the plants? It's as if God is saying to Jonah, is it right for you to be so consumed with your own comfort? And as God speaks in the last two verses, we see how different God is from Jonah and how different God is to us. Jonah hates God's compassion, but he loves comfort. But God, on the other hand, absolutely loves to be compassionate, and he shows absolutely no regard for his own comfort at all. And that's the challenge to us. It's to choose compassion over comfort. Now look at how God challenges Jonah in verse 10. He says, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. Again, so God's saying to Jonah, look, Jonah, you're bothered about the plant that's gone. You didn't make it. You didn't look after it. You didn't grow it. You didn't tend it. It was just something that comes and goes. He shows how trivial Jonah's concern is. And then he goes on in verse 11. He says, and should not I have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left hand, their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Now, God's character is to be full of compassion. He loves all people because he's made all people. And God loves what he makes, in particular people who are made in his image. He loves people because, unlike our creature comforts, people are eternal, whether facing eternal life or eternal death. And he loves people because people are so in need, because people are lost, because people are without hope, because people are vulnerable. By nature, we cannot tell our right hand from our left hand. So spiritually speaking, we don't really know what life is all about. And God doesn't laugh at his enemies. We might be looking at the news and think our world is in such a mess this year. We all say this, don't we? All sitting at home, we can't gather together. But God doesn't laugh at the world. He has compassion on the world. He weeps for our world. Both the mess that our world is in now and also our predicament facing his coming judgment. Now, it's really important to know that if you're listening this afternoon and you're not a Christian, it's really important to know that God doesn't hate you. It might seem like a strange thing to say, but God has not given up on you. He loves you. He weeps for you. He longs for you to turn back to him. He longs for you to receive his mercy. That's his character. Not a bitter God, but a compassionate God. Why delay coming to a God who is as loving and as kind as this? So chapter 4 of Jonah on Mission Sunday. Jonah hates God's compassion and instead he loves comforts. But God loves to be compassionate and he's not bothered about his own comfort at all. Jonah 4 encouraged us to be like God, to choose compassion over comfort. Now, it's not just Jonah 4 that says this to us. It's actually the message of the whole Bible. We see God's love and compassion. We see his love and compassion and his indifference to his own comfort most when he comes into the world in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he freely chooses to die on the cross in the place of sinners. I love how the Christian hymn, And Can It Be, captures this in the third verse. It says this: he left his father's throne above, in other words, the most comfortable place you could ever be. He left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, and emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. What a verse describing what the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go through because of his love and compassion. Jesus left his perfect comfort in eternity past because of his compassion for the world, for you and for me. He left behind every possible comfort for our sake. And he calls his followers to do the same. He calls us not to be consumed about the trivialities of life. You might remember the words of Jesus on Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" Possibly say something like this today, "Is not life more than Netflix, and the body more than the gym, or going on a run," or something like that. Now, coming back to Jonah, the Ninevites were saved through Jonah's amazing mission. And yet God still wants to work on Jonah's heart, because he doesn't want Jonah to do mission reluctantly. He wants Jonah to love mission and to have compassion on people. Now, it's worth saying that comforts are not wrong. They are gifts from God. And yet it's possible to be so attached to the comfortable life that we only get involved in mission reluctantly, if at all. I think we're in particular danger, the church in the UK at the moment, because we live in a society that loves comfort over all other things. As long as we can bake sourdough and have fresh coffee at home, as long as we can do our online supermarket shopping and go to Amazon for anything else, as long as we can watch Netflix in the evenings, as long as we have comfortable lives, well, nothing else really matters. It's been quite remarkable, I guess, how little people seem to have been bothered to lockdown, because actually we've got the comforts. In many ways, we're safe, and we'd rather pursue safety than anything else in life. But here's the thing. It's an obsession with comfort that's going to stop us from caring about the loss and being part of God's mission. Praying for mission is going to take up our time and our emotional energy. Writing to mission partners means we're going to have to delay watching, say, the next episode of The Crown. I think that's coming up soon on Netflix. I've given my position away. It means we have to delay watching the next thing. Giving to mission means less money for that new gadget, less money for a new phone, a less nice car, maybe less money left for rent or for a mortgage. Doing mission yourself, speaking to your friends about your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, will turn otherwise fairly comfortable conversations into uncomfortable conversations. Going on overseas mission yourself. And I mean, why not? Why should none of us, all of us should consider going on overseas mission, even if it's just a short time, we should at least consider it. But doing that will mean giving up the comfort of the familiar for the uncomfort of the unfamiliar. A love of comfort will always get in the way of mission. It's like comfort has handcuffed us to our armchair. But the key to those handcuffs is compassion. It's compassion that will set us free from our obsession and love of comfort. Now, Jonah chapter 4 is a message that I've really needed to hear this week. As many of you probably know, me and Harriet and the kids have been in the UK now for 7 months. We plan on going back in a couple of months' time. And there's a sense in which I feel a little bit flabby now. I've got used to UK comforts. I've got used to ham and cheese from the fridge. I've got used to sliced bread. I love a glass of wine. I enjoy ambient living temperatures. I enjoy having nearby playgrounds. I like the fact that I can get up at night and not have to worry about treading on a scorpion or a centipede. I like the relative road safety. I like church services that are under 2 hours. I like seeing family regularly when we're not in lockdown. And there's a sense in which I'm not looking forward to being without all these comforts. But the thing that makes it all completely worthwhile, and it truly does make it worthwhile, is thinking about our friend Serene. Serene, I think we've told you about him before. A Fula tribe cattle herder who came to faith through a conversation with Harriet and another friend of ours. Serene's, it's hard to know his age. He looks like he's in his, at least in his 70s. He's got a very hard life, and he does not know, or he didn't know, his left hand from his right. But now he's a man who looks forward to eternal happiness with his Maker, to eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in paradise. There is honestly no amount of ham and cheese sandwiches that's going to outweigh the joy of remembering him and seeing him in glory. And it's the prospect of being part of the process where more people like him come to faith that makes it worth it giving up comforts, even though it is hard, because, you know, we love comforts just as much as anyone. So Jonah 4, God challenges us to choose compassion over comfort. God calls us to remember that he's done that for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says to us, you care about comforts. Are they not here today and gone tomorrow? Should I not care, though, about the lost who don't know their right hand from their left? And should not you too? So choose compassion over comfort and be part of God's mission in one of the many ways that you can get involved. Later on, Harriet's going to help us think about the many different ways we can be involved. But for now, let's pray that God would do a work in our hearts. Heavenly Father, please forgive us for valuing small comforts more highly than people. Father, please with your Spirit give us a great concern for all in the world who do not know you, both in our homes, in our villages, in our towns, cities, in our nation, and also overseas. Please would we gladly forsake those comforts that are getting in the way of us being involved in your mission. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again now, and it's a great song that we can use as a prayer to God, to ask him to help. So we can ask him to help, ask him to set us free from spiritual lethargy, that we might be more involved in his mission, and to ask a song where we can ask God to give us great compassion for the lost. Let's sing that now together.